This is episode 134 of UFO Encounters. In this episode, I read from my book, Aspects of Alien Abduction, Shocking UFO Encounters, Volume 1. The book was published yesterday and is now available on Amazon. The audiobook is also available on Spotify and other major platforms. In the book, I focus on the patterns that appear in alien abduction accounts, what experiencers consistently report, and how their stories connect, and what these similarities may reveal about the nature of the phenomenon. I'm going to be reading from Chapter 2, which is titled Sightings. If unidentified flying objects possess advanced technology, it seems reasonable to assume they could move through our skies without drawing attention to themselves. They would not need bright lights, dramatic manoeuvres, or anything that makes them stand out like a Christmas tree. This raises a fundamental question. When a UFO is clearly visible, is that visibility accidental or intentional? If it is intentional, then the obvious next question is, why? One possibility is that such sightings are part of a slow, deliberate process of introduction. Rather than revealing themselves openly and suddenly, perhaps these beings are easing humanity toward awareness over a very long timescale. Disclosure in this sense wouldn't be a single event, but a gradual cultural and psychological adjustment. It's not unreasonable to imagine a plan unfolding over generations, even centuries, allowing belief, skepticism, curiosity, and acceptance to develop naturally. A 200-year process would ensure that no single generation bears the full shock of realization. Another possibility is that the sighting is not meant for humanity as a whole, but for one specific individual. Perhaps the craft appeared exactly when and where it did because someone needed to see it. If so, the purpose becomes deeply personal. Was it meant to shatter certainty, to disrupt a worldview, or simply to plant the undeniable realization that we are not alone? A single profound moment can permanently alter how someone understands reality. There is also a more symbolic or spiritual interpretation. The experience might not be about proof in a scientific sense at all. Instead, it could serve as a catalyst, something designed to push the observer further along a personal or spiritual path. In this view, the sighting isn't about fear or spectacle, but transformation. It becomes less about the object in the sky and more about the internal shift it creates. Finally, a more settling question lingers. Could a sighting be a precursor to something else? Some accounts suggest that visual encounters sometimes come before more direct experiences, such as abductions or close contact. If that is the case, the sighting may function as a form of psychological preparation, introducing the idea before escalating the encounter. The accounts gathered in this chapter come from different people, places, and decades, yet they show clear similarities in what was seen, how it was perceived, and how it affected those involved. These are first-person descriptions of sightings that were unexpected, intense, and often shared with others nearby. They include observations of shape, size, movement, sound, light, and the surrounding environment. Ultimately, the mystery lies not only in what was seen, but in why it was seen at all. Whether the explanation is technological, psychological, spiritual, or something beyond our current understanding, the act of being seen may be just as meaningful as the object itself. Bruce Rapuano. Bruce's experience is a textbook example of a sighting event involving time distortion and environmental control. When the craft appeared, the world around him shut down, sound disappeared, and movement stopped. Only Bruce remained active, which strongly suggests he was selected to be the experiencer. It was a couple of days before the beginning of summer, a beautiful cloudless day, June 19, 1965. We're playing a game of kickball in the front yard of our home, in the suburbs, just outside New Haven, Connecticut. Four people per team. I was playing defence near the end of our property, right at the edge of the driveway of our home. For some reason, I looked to my right and I saw an immensely brilliant light. I really couldn't get a good glimpse of it because there was a large oak tree in the centre of our front yard that was blocking the view. I walked directly toward our house, and then I can see in the western sky and get a completely unobstructed view of what I described as a UFO that is a biblical Star of Bethlehem. Not a distant point source of light, like that from an airplane or helicopter, or star or planet. This was 2.5 times the size of the full moon, and it was silent, just hanging there motionless in the sky. As I continued watching it, I observed something very strange that I'd never observed before. The environment seemed to alter. It was as if time went down. I didn't hear any of the ambient noises from the neighbourhood, the animals, particularly the insects, the noise from which can be deafening at that time of year. Everything had shut off. I turned my head away because I thought I was distracted by this fascinating experience, seeing something I had never seen before in my life. I turned my head away from it. Again, I couldn't hear anything. What was alarming was there was a fellow to my left. He had blonde hair, and he looked to be motionless, frozen. This was so alarming that I looked away. I wish I hadn't seen this. Then for some reason, very abruptly, the light went off by a flip of the light switch, and in its place was what I would call a fireball, a red spherical-shaped object that looked like a fireball. It was probably the size of a dime held at arm's length. I could see it begin to move, and it was moving in a southeasterly direction. It didn't change its direction, its speed, or altitude. I watched it for about 1.5 minutes until it disappeared over the horizon. I think at that point, I walked back to a neighbour's yard to be able to watch it again as it disappeared over the horizon. I walked back to our front yard. The other children in our group began to discuss what we had just seen. I believe at least one of the people in that group was taken from that location. What supports that theory in this particular case is the fact that one of the witnesses told me that for a period of time, I disappeared. I was not present at that location. I wanted to say as well, not only was there no noise coming from the surrounding environment, but 7 of the other players were not talking, were not moving. I heard nothing from them. I was very concerned about the fact that my friends and classmates appeared to be frozen. They were no longer talking. But again, the strange thing was, I seemed to be the only one who was dynamic in my behaviour. I could move anywhere. I could have talked. But I was silent because I was so focused on watching where this UFO was travelling to. The frozen people around him were not harmed. They were paused. This allowed the beings to isolate Bruce without panic or interference. His later disappearance from the scene suggests he was physically removed, even if his conscious memory does not include the full process. The transformation of the object, from brilliant light to structured craft, demonstrates controlled technology capable of changing form or perception. Bruce's awareness during the event sets him apart. He was not frozen because he was the subject. Others were temporarily disabled. His experience reveals that abduction does not always involve fear or force. It can occur quietly, with the person fully conscious while the world stands still. Joe Stillwell. Joe's encounter involved a massive craft operating at extremely low speed and altitude, suggesting deliberate observation rather than travel. The structure's size and seamless design indicate advanced construction beyond human material science. At that time of year, looking out of this particular window, I would have to look up to the left to see a constellation. I caught sight of the constellation as well as the moon. I just barely set my sight on those two objects when I sensed movement in the sky to the right, outside of my window. I turned my head and looked to the right, and there was an enormous structure coming in very slowly from the west. It appeared to be heading toward the back of my house. When I initially caught sight of it, I'm going to guess it was 500 feet away, about 300 feet in altitude, and it was shaped like a brick. I had never seen or heard of anything like this structure in my life. I just watched in amazement. It was moving very, very slowly, maybe 10 miles an hour. It did not seem to have any source or telltale signs of propulsion, and it was moving very slowly toward me. It was solid black. I could see three surfaces: the side that was facing to my left, or facing to the south, the underside of it, and the end that was facing me. Those three surfaces were solid, seamless, with no windows or doors, no markings on the surface, none reflective. It appeared to be the smoothest glass. It was just magnificent. It was at least four times the size of my house. In this episode, I was reading from my book, Aspects of Alien Abduction, Shocking UFO Encounters, Volume 1. It's available on Amazon on Kindle, paperback and audiobook. You can also get the audiobook on Spotify and other places. And if you enjoy this podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.